Now, does this sound familiar?
Jingle bells, Batman smells, Robin laid an egg. Batmobile lost its wheel, the Joker got away. Hey!
Singer Robert Goulet on The Simpsons with a timely parody song that's well known to Bart and the other kids and to real life kids from multiple generations. It's just one example of something called child lore, the games like Miss Mary Mac or songs like Ring Around the Rosie or those folding fortune tellers that end up as kind of a shared kid culture. Our next guest recently looked into how all this stuff becomes child lore and how it changes depending on when and where you learned it. You can join in at 800-642-1234, hoping you'll join in with your memories, however distant they may be, of those bits of child lore in your own childhood. If I can say all the words here. Clapping games, urban legends, parody songs, you name it. What memories do you have of sharing that stuff with other kids? Where did you learn it from, if you remember? Call it at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you see these things in your own kids, love to hear about that too. 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Julie Beck is a senior editor at The Atlantic who oversees the family section. She's the creator of The Friendship Files. Her latest piece about childhood traditions and how they get passed down is titled, Why Do We All Have the Same Childhood? Julie, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Well, reading your piece, I was like, oh yeah, I remember all this stuff, and I probably hadn't thought about it in literally decades. What got you interested in taking a closer look at this child lore?
Yeah, well, before I knew that it was called child lore, in my mind, I was just sort of thinking of it as like the memes of the schoolyard, because I was thinking about like how these things spread and we all seem to know them. There's always like BuzzFeed listicles or whatever of like things only 90s kids remember. And it's like the cool S or like the cootie catchers or all these things. And I had always sort of idly wondered, how is it that we do all know these things? Because it's not like kids have like a robust, you know, network across the nation. And then when I looked into it, it turned out that really this is a subgenre of folklore. And it's folklore that is specific to kids and kid culture.
And child lore, reading your piece and looking into it more, it covers a lot of ground. You mentioned a couple, those origami cootie catchers, so-called, the fortune-telling things that I didn't have the folding talent to make when I was a kid. little tricks with calculators, little art things, songs. This is a lot of ground we're covering here.
Yeah, it's a really broad category. Really anything that is a piece of culture that kids have adopted and made their own could be child lore. So that can be all of the examples you mentioned. That can be jump rope rhymes, nursery rhymes, clapping games, even like something as small as like typing out naughty words on a calculator, right? Like that can be child lore too. It really does span a wide array of things and it can kind of ebb and flow. But what was the most interesting to me was how many of these things persist through the generations. One of the folklorists I spoke to was much older than me and is British, and we shared a ton of the same references. So I thought that was pretty cool, just the longevity of it.
Talking to Julie Beck from The Atlantic, looking at child lore, the little games and customs and songs and tricks and things like that that are common to kids, as Julie was just saying, from different generations, often from different places. You can join in. Do you have a memory of these things yourself? Or are you seeing it right now in your own kids? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Now, Julie, a big question you tackled here is, a lot of these things were around a long time, of course, before we had the internet, yet they spread like memes. What do we know about how the same customs might be, as you just mentioned, in the United States and England and in a generation or two apart? How do these things spread?
Yeah, so the answer is kind of simple, and maybe you will find that disappointing, but it's actually pretty cool. It really is something that catches on to the degree that children want to teach it to each other. And so within a school, you know, older generations will be teaching the younger generations. Within the home, like, siblings are really important, especially, you know, if you have an older sibling, you probably think they're really cool and want to emulate whatever they're doing. And then something that was mentioned to me as well was really the power of, like, cousins, which seems really random, but, like, those are often the closest peers that kids have who don't go to their school, but they do see them regularly. So there's, like, cross-pollination happening with cousins, or if new kids move to new schools and they bring their lore from their old school. So all of those things seem really simple. And yet, like, if something is catchy enough and, like, cool enough to kids, like, that will be enough to really spread it, like, across the country.
You also write, I think, about, the game of tag, which just appears like, we're running around tagging each other. I remember who taught me tag, and there are different permutations involving often diseases around tag. Could you talk about what you learned about that really basic playground game?
Yeah, I mean, the origin of tag, I could not tell you. Like, it is timeless. It came from everywhere and nowhere, but kids take that structure and they iterate it depending on what they're interested in or what they're thinking about. And, like, obviously you've probably played a lot of variations yourself, like freeze tag or the floor is lava or whatever. But it's also a structure that they can use to kind of work through what is going on around them. And so a colleague of mine, Kate Cray, actually wrote a piece in, like, March or April 2020 about how kids were starting to play coronavirus tag. And parents were worried, like, does this mean, you know, their kids are really traumatized and upset? Should we be worried about this? And, you know, experts told her at the time, like, no, this is so healthy. Like, this is play is how children, work through things. And when I was reporting this story, and I mentioned that to a folklorist, they said, you know, I would not be surprised if in Victorian times they were playing cholera tag or something like that. Like, it's just a structure that is there and that kids build on with their interests or whatever they're working through. And I think that's part of what makes it, you know, so long lived.
And speaking of grownups being worried about kids, I think there's a sense like, oh, there's the internet and screens and social media, and now kids are doing childhood wrong. Is this killing those old traditional childhood games, the interconnected world we have?
Oh my goodness, no. And in fact, like, every single folklorist that I spoke to or whose, like, book I read, every single one, like, had the same thing that they wanted to emphasize, which is that adults, like, throughout history have always said kids don't know how to play anymore. And they're blaming, you know, whatever the technology of the day is, probably, like, today it would be internet and TikTok. And, like, when it was TV, like, TV was, you know, the problem. But they seem to think that part of the reason for that is because, like, child lore is sort of like a language and a culture that is of kids, by kids, for kids, and it is not for us. And so we don't always recognize it when we see it. We might just think, like, kids are running around on the playground screaming and going wild, but, like, to them, it is a game that, like, has a purpose and an organized principle, and, like, we just don't always see that.
Another thing that's fun is, regional variation. Things are different. I think when you're talking to the English expert, you mentioned Jingle Bells, Batman Smells. What does Robin do?
Oh, yeah. Well, so you played the clip from The Simpsons, which is the one that I know, which is Robin laid an egg. And he said that he grew up singing Robin Flew Away. I like laid an egg better, but to each their own. But yeah, that is another element of it, right? Is, like, there is consistency, like, remarkable consistency, and there is also variation depending on the time you grew up, where exactly you grew up, what was cool at your school, that sort of thing.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Susie is with us in New Berlin. Susie, hi.
Hi. I believe Ring Around the Rosie is talking about the plague.
I have heard that too. Is this one you grew up playing yourself, Susie, doing Ring Around the Rosie? Yeah. I remember when I was a little kid, I did that.
Yeah. And Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down, I believe, is when they burned down towns. They would seal a town, not let anybody out, and just burn the whole thing down to try to stop the plague from growing.
Susie, thanks for the call. I've heard that, Julie. I've also heard that is wrong, and I'm not sure we're settled on the origins of Ring Around the Rosie. The tricky thing is, like you were saying with Tag, it may be that we never know where these things end up coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, you know, professional folklorists, like, can actually trace some of these things, probably not all of them, much better than, you know, me, a random person, can. I don't want to, you know, commit on air to something I'm not sure about, but I'm pretty sure that in the book of the folklorist, the British folklorist Steve Rowe that I read, he had debunked one of those things. I can't remember if it was Ring Around the Rosie or some other kids game that's like associated with the plague. But it seemed like more questionable that that actually was the origin. Like that sort of maybe folklore in itself that like now we think that it was, you know, the plague at the time. So it's like folklore on top of folklore.
I love it. Thanks a lot for bringing that up. We're talking to Julie Beck, senior editor at The Atlantic, who oversees their family section, with us today to talk about her latest piece looking at traditions of childhood, otherwise known as child lore. Want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you remember some of these? Are you just thinking back about them now? Maybe something you haven't thought of in a good long while, depending on how old you were. What is one of these things you might remember from your school? A version of tag. Did you use those folding things to answer fortune teller type questions? Does he or she like me? That kind of important question to a fourth or fifth grader. Other songs or parodies or games, 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about child lore, those clapping games, silly song parodies, and so much more that have become childhood traditions. Julie Beck stays with us from The Atlantic. She wrote a recent piece about this. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a memory of one of these, a question, if you remember who taught something like this to you, well, that's a tall order maybe, but if you do, I'd love to hear it. 800-642-1234. A jumping jack, a rhyme that you did, or a, what do you call that? I'm blanking on the word. Jump rope thing that you did. A rhyme that you did. Let us know. 800-642-1234. Let's go back to your calls now. Bryn is with us in North Freedom. Bryn, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Bryn?
MASH. The person on air may instantly know what that is, but mansion, apartment, shack, house, a game on a piece of paper with pencil marks and figuring out what your future holds.
Oh, wow. Okay, that is just starting to come back to me. I don't remember if we called it MASH, but yeah, it was like kind of a weird fortune-telling thing. Do you remember any of your fortunes, Bryn, from back in the day? Oh, I think we lost Bryn. Julie, is that one you ran across?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I never forgot about MASH. It's hard to describe to people who don't know, because this is not a visual medium, but you know, you would write, it would be sort of like a fortune-telling game for your future, right? And so as the caller mentioned, you'd write MASH on the top, and that was like, are you going to live in a mansion, apartment, shack, or house? Yeah, you'd put all your crushes on there, whether that was like celebrity crushes or people from school. And then you would do, you know, sort of like a random number generating thing. And then you'd count it out. And that's like who you were going to marry, where you were going to live, how many kids you would have, like all of that.
Thanks a lot for bringing that up, Bryn. You know what? I don't remember if I did that. I know my kids did it. That's why it seems so familiar. Bryn, thanks a lot for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Julie, are we seeing new things like this getting created now, not just passed on, but new, whole new things or new versions of them?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about child lore is that it is sort of a paradox in that it is like very stable, but also always in flux, right? Like, so there are all kinds of things that are child lore that don't get passed on, you know, for hundreds and hundreds of years, because they're kind of specific to the time that they come up in, right? So, for example, when I was a kid in elementary school, like my friends and I used to pretend to be the witches from Hocus Pocus on the playground, and we would play that all the time. And, you know, after that movie was not super popular anymore, I doubt anybody was like thinking to play that, although they did just put out a sequel, so maybe it's coming back. Yeah, there's all kinds of things that are tied to pop culture. Kids love to play, you know, games related to that. And then there's probably also just like trends that come up in a school and they don't necessarily become super widespread. So all of that is child lore. The distinction is, you know, the pop culture itself. So like Paw Patrol is not child lore. Like that was made by adults for children, but the games that kids play when they're pretending to be Paw Patrol characters, that is child lore, because what makes it child lore is kids making it their own.
Let's go back to our callers at 800-642-1234 with Ginny on the road by Dodgeville. Ginny, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to tell us about Ginny?
Well, I grew up on a dairy farm in southwest Wisconsin, so we kind of had to make our own entertainment. And I remember three games. One was called Red Rover, Red Rover, and then you'd say, send, you know, like Robbie right over, and that kid would like run across and try to break like through a line of kids holding hands. And then the other one was a Annie Annie Over, where you threw a ball over the roof of we had a smokehouse. So the person on the other side would catch it. And then they had to try to figure out which side the person who threw the ball was coming. And if you hit them with the ball before they got all the way around, then you won, you know. And then the last one was Cat's Cradle, where you used a string and you kind of move the string around, and then you pass it from back and forth. It was really fun.
Ginny, yeah, it was a playground. Thank you so much for sharing those. I was in southeastern Michigan growing up. I was Robbie, and I played Red Rover. In my head, I was really good at Red Rover. I don't think I have the statistics to back those up. But Julie, Ginny had some great examples. Those are exactly the sorts of things we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. And I knew Red Rover and I knew Cat's Cradle, but I didn't know the throwing over the roof game. I grew up in southeastern Michigan as well, so we'd played a lot of Red Rover. I was not good at it. I've never been like a good runner. I could never break through their hands. So that one wasn't my favorite, but I do remember.
Ginny, thanks a lot for sharing that at 800-642-1234. Talking to Julie Beck from The Atlantic, talking about child lore, those games, those little tricks, the fortune-telling things, so much more that kids just know and pass on to each other and maybe change and reinvent, and it shows up at different places and times. Still time for you to join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. Julie, the mention of MASH, most of our Central Time producers seem to remember that fondly. Now, when you were telling people you were writing about this, did you have a lot of those moments like, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Oh, my gosh, yes. I was reading through this book by the British folklorist called The Lore of the Playground. And just every page was like bringing back memories like of these clapping games that I used to play, and like the sort of various rules for different like hopscotch games or like tag variations. Some of the things I had, you know, remembered over the years, but it's sort of like the Proustian Madeleine, right? Like somebody mentions it and it just like comes flooding back all the memories.
Now, I did a couple of the things you wrote about I hadn't heard of, but I was able to watch YouTube videos about them. Do you think that's going to help? I mentioned, you know, is technology going to kill these things? Is technology going to help amplify some of these things?
I think so, yeah. One of the researchers I spoke with, her specialty is kind of, you know, new media and play. And she mentioned that, yeah, sometimes kids will look up the rules for this or that clapping game online. So that is another way that it spreads. And it makes me wonder if the sort of regional variants will become a little bit more homogenized if kids are kind of learning in this more universal way online. It's not going to kill play, but it might like shift the way that kids learn these things.
Let's go back to our callers. John is with us in Osseo. John, hello.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I'm actually a teacher in Osseo. And at the end of my class, if we're done with our schoolwork, I have a softball that I let the kids throw around the room, and they come up with their own rules. I've never introduced a game to them, but every day there's something new. It's like, well, today let's throw it behind our back, or today you have to be on one foot when you throw it. You bounce it off your, if it bounces off your hand, you're out. It's just very interesting watching them create games as they go.
I love it, John. Thanks. And that speaks, Julie, to the inventiveness of children, I think.
Yeah, that's so fun. I mean, I don't know if the softball game is going to sweep the nation, although it might, but it's like what makes it really special is that like it's about the kids' agency and them coming up with what is interesting and fun and stimulating to them. And that's really the case for all of child lore, whether it's something that only exists in our college classroom or, across the whole country.
Thanks for the call, John. Time for one more caller. Lori is with us in northern Wisconsin. Lori, hi.
I just tuned in on the radio, but I remember the game, the clapping game. Oh, Mary, Mac, all dressed in black, black. And you cross your arms and go down and
Right.
pat your legs and clap your whoever you're doing it with.
Lori, thanks for that. Julie, I mentioned that as one example, but we haven't talked about those clapping and rhyming games, including, that's a big one, Mary Mac.
Yeah, I loved those. I remember Mary Mac, and there was like a bunch of other ones. And again, like not a visual medium, so hard to like explain. But yeah, they were really fun. And I think there's like been a ton of different regional variations on like how people do those rhymes too.
Lori, thanks for that call. And Julie, thanks a lot for sharing this with us.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was really fun.
That's Julie Beck, senior editor at The Atlantic, who oversees the family section. She was with us today to talk about her latest piece there. It's called Why Did We All Have the Same Childhood? Looking at how childhood traditions, child lore is shared. You can keep sharing yours, by the way, over on the Ideas Network Facebook page, one you remember from your own childhood, one you've seen maybe in your own kid's life.